Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. How many of you found out that God is great? Amen. I wanted to share testimony. We just got here from a group of 9 Rhema graduates who are downing in Miss, I call her Grace. Everybody calls her Catherine, down in Guatemala. And they've had some great things take place this week. But this came from our man and our son. He said, 2 years ago, I prayed for this woman. There's a picture of him and a woman and her husband. She had cancer that started in her ovaries and spread to her stomach and lungs. She was bedridden for 9 months. And whenever he had prayed for her, they came and he ministered at the church. Actually, she was bedridden, and she came up, and the husband came and asked for prayer. So he prayed with him, and he said, today here, 2 years later, she stands completely healed. Her hair grew back. Their family was restored. They just started to question God. Where are you, God? You know, what's all? They had lost their faith, and their daughter had started to pull away. He said their family's restored. They started going to church. Their daughter regained her faith in Christ. Glory to God. Amen. You know, just when you think things are going the wrong way, there's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible is, but God. But God. Amen. It could be going this way, but God. And when God gets involved in things and we praise him, hallelujah, when he gets involved in things and we allow him to work in our lives, oh, how wonderful it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 10. If you don't know, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen actually ministered today at Rhema Family Church Australia. They're in Brisbane. Their service got over at noon their time, and it was 9 o'clock last night here. Have any of you ever crossed the international date line and that whole thing messes with you? Right. So you understand. So their Saturday night was noon there on Sunday. And so when they come back, you know, then it's another different day. So I don't know. But they've had great services there. They're having a healing service on Sunday night. And then I think they're doing some alumni stuff on Monday, then they'll head back. And so there, I know he's preaching Sunday morning at Rhema Bible Church in Tulsa there. Craig preached there this morning and preached the last 2 Wednesdays, and then do these 2 Wednesday nights that they're gone. So they asked me if I would please come over, and I always enjoy being with you. Amen. I don't know if you enjoy it, but I enjoy it. Okay. So just bear with me. Okay. John chapter 10. I want to talk to you tonight about the life of God in us. And I want to look at it from maybe a little bit different perspective. Now, I don't want you to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it said God formed man from the dust of the earth. Formed the body, right? Now, that body was just a body. It was when a person, what we call on earth, dies, that body's still here, but it's lifeless. But God breathed into, the Bible says, the nostrils of that body he made, the breath of life. Quite literally, God put himself inside that man. And man became eternal at that moment. Because that is eternal life, the God kind of life that went inside of him. And God told them, he told him about the garden. He said, now don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now, we know they didn't cease to exist when they ate, but they did die. What happened? They were separated from the life of God. Okay, but it wasn't God's plan that man would just cease to exist and wiped off the face of the earth. God had a plan of redemption. And literally, in looking at this, God didn't come, didn't send Jesus so we could go to heaven. Now we get to go. How many of you are glad? But he didn't come for that. He came to get that life back on the inside of us. And everything, listen to me now, everything God knew that we would need, he put in Jesus. Now, why is that important? Because we're going to see Jesus in us. Amen. Now, here in John chapter 10, look at verse 38. Jesus is talking here about the works He said, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, what's Jesus saying here? You may not believe the words I say, but look what's happening here. Look and see the works, and we know what the works of Jesus, right? Went about teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. Great miracles, signs and wonders taking place, you know. But he said, I am in the Father, the Father is in me, and I am him. Now, what does that have to do with the works? What does that have to, why would we believe? Because that's how Jesus was doing what he did. Now, listen to me again. We've talked about this here before. Jesus didn't do what he did on earth because he was God. He did it because God was in him and he was anointed by God. He laid aside all that power that he had as the member of the Godhead, but yet he was a man anointed by God. I always go back to Acts 10:38 when I think of that, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Now remember, Jesus of Nazareth, that's the man, right? That's where he grew up, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. See, why would God doesn't have to anoint God? Okay, and the reason Jesus talks about this is because he's trying to get us to understand something here. He is our example. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 14, where he talks about us doing the works that he did. And I'm not so much centered up on the works, and I'm going to talk about that life that's in us. That life that's in you right now. If you're a Christian tonight, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got that life. Not when you get to heaven. It's in you now. That's what's going to get you to heaven. If you have to wait to heaven to get it, you're too late. Amen. It has to be on this side of heaven. Thank God for heaven. John 14:9. Jesus said, Have I been so long with you? Remember, Philip said, show us the Father. And yet you've not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Again, how was Jesus doing what he did? Because of his union with the Father. Amen. Now, he said, he's in me and I'm in him. Well, we're not going to turn to all the 130 some New Testament scriptures that talk about us being in him and him being in us. Jesus is in us. But he goes on here to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. Now, how did Jesus do the works? Because the Father was in him, and he was in the Father. How are miracles? How is healing going to take place? How did that woman get healed by the power after prayer? Because we're in, the Father's in us, and we're in him. How does it take place? I mean, they posted videos of all kinds of people with legs growing out, all kinds of instantly healed of headaches, all kinds of great things happening. How's that happen? Because the Father's in us and we're in him. That life is in us. We're going to see that in a minute. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, he said, the Father in me, he does the work. John 17 now. John chapter 17. It's interesting. Jesus never took credit for anything. He didn't say it's because of me. He didn't say it's, you know, didn't you know I'm the Son of God? That's why that happened. No, he said the Father in me. The Father in me. The Father in me. That same God that was in him's in us. Same God that anointed Jesus of Nazareth has anointed us. And that same power, that same life, the Zoe, life of God, that everlasting life of God is in us. John 17, beginning in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, that would include us now, because one way or another, all of us have believed based on the words of these who are eyewitnesses. He says, that they all may be one, that that as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. Now see, how did God get in us? Because he's in Christ. And he's in us. Christ is in us, and God's in Christ, and so he's in us. Now turn over to John chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1. What is in Christ? I said to you, everything that God knew we would need, he put in Christ. Because he knew, because that was the mystery. That was the mystery, Colossians says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what was hidden. Had the devil known, had the prince of this world known what was going to happen, that God was going to come back and live inside of man the way he lived inside of Adam and Eve in the beginning, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us. Now look here in John chapter 1, look at verse 4. I like this. Praise the Lord. In him was life. He's talking about the word that was made flesh. It's Jesus. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Life. In him was that everlasting life. In him is Zoe life. And that became flesh and dwelt among us, he said. In him was life. Now look at John chapter 3. Let's see this. What do we receive when we believe? Okay, well, I know it's Christ. Yes, I understand that. But okay, but think about it. How many of you have heard this? You need to ask Christ to come live in your heart. You ever heard that? Now, the Bible, I don't think there's a scripture that actually says that, but we understand what people are saying when they say that, what they mean. But if Christ comes and lives in your heart and life is in him, guess what came and lived on the inside of you? That life. And it's in you right now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You're not waiting for something. It's in you now. Now we are the children. Now look here in John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Then we'll drop down to another verse. But verse 15 and 16. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we read that sometime, and I think too often we let our mind go to heaven. We say, well, he'll have everlasting life. Well, thank God. But again, you're not going to heaven without the everlasting life. You have to have that in you first. You see? Now, notice, when you believe in him, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, so that means it's available to anybody, believes in, anybody can believe, whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And really, that everlasting eternal, it's not really talking about the length of it, even though it's never going to come to an end. It's talking about the type of it. It doesn't wane. It doesn't get stronger sometimes and weaker sometimes. No, it's God. It's God. That life, and it's in us now. Now, drop down here in the same chapter to verse 36. Look what, John, we call him John the Baptist, is talking. And he's already said that he must increase and I must decrease. But he said in verse 36, he that believes on the Son has, that's right now, everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. See, through believing, we take possession of the life of God. The life of God. Well, like Brother Hagin said, well, what's that life in there for? Just to hitchhike a ride through life? You know, like the Holy, why is the Holy Ghost in it? Well, does he just need to go from here to there? No, he doesn't need us to transport him anywhere. But what is he in there? He's in there to affect our life. Every aspect of it, spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. Now look at John 10:10. In honor of Brother Craig, let's read John 10:10. Does he even turn to it anymore? Or does he just quote it? I think he just quotes it, yeah. I told you one time we're going to change this to Craig 10:10. John chapter 10, verse number 10. The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That you might have life. What kind of life? That Zoe life. That the life that was in him. In him was life. And that life is the light of men. See, one of the things that life does is it drives out darkness because it's light. It's the light of men. Darkness has to flee in the presence of this life. Anything associated with darkness has to flee in the presence of this life. When we believe, that life stays active as we believe. You know, very seldom in the New Testament does the word believe mean one time. It means continuous belief. To continually believe. All right? But he says here, that life, that have it more abundantly. I love what, in looking this up, I believe it, I heard Brother Jerry Savelle say this first. He didn't make it up, but he's the first one I heard say it. That word abundant, if you look at abundantly, and it does mean this, means super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. That's the kind of life that we have. Why? Because it's God's life. Now you realize with God, you can never exhaust, come to an end of what God has. And he is life. So you're never going to come to an end of this life. All right. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I've got, it was one of the students at Rhema in the time that I've been there and taught there and been involved. I was not the dean when he was here, but been there. But I've got a good friend in ministry, young fella, he's 41. You know, you get a certain age, 40s seem young, you know, hallelujah. But Chad Gonzalez, and I've been talking with Chad. He was just actually at Rhema Kenya doing a faith conference. He was over there with Philip Slaughter and Vidar, the head of that, and Mark Hankins were over there. And boy, they had a ripping time. Go on Rhema Kenya's Facebook site and you can watch those sermons. But he and I have been talking about this here for several years. And I heard him say some things. I was watching his service over there that I hadn't heard. And I was messaging with him. Boy, technology has changed the world. Used to take 2 weeks. You'd write a letter, it'd get there in a week. That was a miracle that it would get there in a week. Then you had to wait another week to get a response. So you could talk to somebody twice a month. In 4 weeks, you could talk to them twice. Now, it's instant. It's amazing to Kenya. But he was talking about some things and I've been looking at these things about that life that's in us. Now, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1. You realize we're just kind of picking verses out here a little bit for time's sake. But this is a study to go through the entire New Testament. I believe I can look it up for sure. But just the word life as it's used, the Zoe life of God, is in there about, 133 times it's translated life. One time it's translated lifetime. But from Matthew to Revelation, the word is Zoe, which is the English spelling from the Greek lettering. It's translated life. And it is the life that God is. It's the life that was in him. Now here in Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him, talking about in Jesus, that's who he's been talking about, in him should all fullness dwell. In him. Now remember, he's in us. So the fullness of God is in him and he's in us. Now again, that doesn't make us God. That doesn't make us Jesus, but God is in us. He's in us. Glory to God. And whatever that life would do, whatever that power would do when Jesus was on the earth, it is still do it today through you and I. There's no difference. In order for it not to do that, God would have had to change. And the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same life. That same life. I've been, at times I'll just catch myself saying, that life is in me. that life is in me. And I'll start picking out, you can't remember every organ you have in your body, even though you took biology class, but I just started, it's working. It's working in this. It's working in that. Life is working in me. Look here in Colossians chapter 2 now. Hallelujah. For in him dwells all, notice it says, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now watch this. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Glory to God. All the fullness of God dwells in him. Why? Because it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And remember, made this statement to you, everything God knew that we would need, he put in Jesus because he was going to put Jesus in us. Praise God. He's in you there. Well, I'm just waiting for the healing power. You don't need to wait for the healing power to fall. It's in you right now, working in you right now. When the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, see, that life that's in us is ministered to that sick person's body, and that causes them to recover. That life, the power of God, that life that's a superior in quality, super abundant in quantity, is in us. Glory to God. Now look at Romans chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can tell I'm a little bit excited about this. I've been seeing some things. you're finding Romans 5, I'm just kind of looking in my, I've got the word life marked, and it's popping up on here in Romans to me. Romans, don't turn over there. But Romans 6:22 and 23 says, but now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we have received that gift. For God so loved the world, he did what? He gave. Well, have you received it? If you have, you've got the everlasting life, that eternal life. Now, here in Romans 5, there's so much, here he talked about us being reconciled, declared right. Peace has been made between us and God. Do you remember what the angel said when Jesus was born? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He didn't say among men. He said toward men. Toward, what does that mean? From God toward us. Well, that's what it means to be reconciled. It means peace has been made. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And what is that? God was in Christ, not imputing your trespasses unto you. Why? He put them on Jesus. He said, and Paul said, so we beseech you, be reconciled to God. See, we are his representatives or ambassadors. Be reconciled to God. Why? Because God's made peace with you. Come on, it's peace. I think the world believes God's mad at him when he's made peace with them. Be reconciled to God. He's at peace. He's at peace with you right now. Amen. Don't live under any type of thought. Don't allow the thought that something's going on in your life right now because you did something in the past and God's still holding against you. No, God has made peace with you. He has reconciled you to himself. And the Bible talks about we stand in that grace. Well, being reconciled or having peace with God. Look what verse number 10 says. For Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. See, it wasn't when we were the friends of God. So God's decision to reconcile us and to make peace with us was his and his alone. It wasn't based on us. We had nothing to do with it because we were his enemies. So he decided through what Jesus did. See, Jesus never sinned, but he took our sin upon him, died in our place, defeated death, hell, and the grave, rose again, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And because of that, now we have peace with God. He said, reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled. Notice this now. We shall be saved by his life. Now, we've looked at that word life. We thought, well, what Jesus? No, it's that word Zoe. It's by his life, that life that was in him. Yes. and is in him, we are saved by it. Now look at that word saved. We shall be saved by his life. That word saved is the grand word of the gospel message. It is the greatest word of the New Testament because it includes everything that Jesus, that God did for us through the plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. All right? Scofield, in his notes of the Bible, and if you were raised Baptist, you know who Scofield is. Scofield's notes in his Bible, in, you remember Romans 1:16 says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek." That he said that, he said the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation and saved gathered together all the redemptive acts of God. And then he gives some definitions. He says it means to, yes, be saved. It means to be preserved. It means to be delivered. It means to be made whole. It means to be healed. Now, the modern editions of the Scofield Bible have taken the word healed out of his, but that, if you got an older Bible, it's in there on that note. But we shall, by what? That life. See, that life that's in you right now. You see, we don't really, the Christian never has to go to God and ask to be healed because we already have the healing in us. It already belongs to us. God gave us that life. The healing power is in me right now. Affecting a healing and a cure. Amen. Brother Hagin would talk about this. Just keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep it turned. How? By saying. By saying what it is. It's in me. It means the word made whole. You remember when Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, he said, "Your faith has made you whole." Same word translated saved right there. Same word from the original language of the Greek language that was it translated from. To be, you shall be whole by his life. Well, whole, she was whole physically, but I'm convinced her whole life was made whole that day. She'd spent all that she had. She doesn't have any money. Thank God she's healed. But you know God. God doesn't leave people, you're healed now. I hope you can, Jesus didn't heal her so she'd starve to death in 2 weeks because she didn't have any money. Come on now. Jesse talked about that woman with the widow's mite. She gave all that she had. Well, we don't have the rest of the story. That's when we get to heaven. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story on some of these events. I got a friend in ministry. She said, go to Blockbuster in heaven. Remember Blockbuster? They're about out of business everywhere. But go rent the video in heaven and watch what happened, okay? But we shall be saved by his life. That life. See, we're not out here searching. We're not out here looking. We're not, just wait. We got to pray the power. I know the power is already in you. The life's already in you. And I understand what people are saying. There is a corporate anointing. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Go back to John 14 there for a minute. And I'm going to pick up here in, let's see. Let's read verse 21 here, Melinda. John 14, 21. He's in me. God's in him. He's in God. I'm in him. He's in me. He said, Father, I want them to be one just as you and I are one. You're in me and I'm in you. I want them to be one the same way. In him. That same relationship. The same relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Now, not as a member of the Godhead. Again, don't take these things and run over in a ditch. You're not God. Never going to be God. And you all ought to thank God that I'm not God. Yeah. Right? Now, come on, be honest. How many of you, there's some people you really have to stop and think if you'd want to save them. I don't know. I guess, See, God didn't think that. God doesn't think that way. See, but Tad might. So you got to think, But, of course, you'd go off like you'd lose your train of thought. But he's in us. The same relationship that Jesus has with the Father we have because we're joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. He died on our behalf, but he was made alive by the power of God. That same life, that same resurrection power is in us. Amen. Now, this physical body, it's redeemed, but there's a final redemption coming for it, that we're going to have a body that is an eternal body. We don't have it yet. All right? But that doesn't mean we have to live out our life here on earth sick and weak and unable to function. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. You know, I've caught myself here in the last, you know, several months, just kind of thing. You know, every once in a while, I'll just get there and I'll get blank. A blank will happen. And I've caught myself. I'm no. In Jesus' name, the life of God's working in my mind. My memory's sound. Glory to God. All the whatever needs to fire up there, fire in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been working on it, catching myself. Because I'm not going to have that. Now, it's not so much, I don't think it's so much that you forget. It's just you got so much stacked in there sometimes that it takes a while to go through the files. But amen. It all needs to work right. All right, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus wants to manifest himself to us, but where he's on the inside of us, that's where the manifestation takes place in us. Now, he said, we will be saved by his life. Now, I understand we could say saved by what he did. All right. In his life, death, burial, and resurrection. But he's talking about that Zoe, not the life he lived, but that life that is in him. In him was life. The life was the light of men. It's in us right now. My friend Chad, as I mentioned him, he calls it, we are naturally supernatural. Naturally supernatural. And I know he's seen as he's teaching along these lines, he's seen people in services, blind eyes just open up as they begin to see this. It never touches them, nothing happens. Just they begin to open up. Lame people walking. Deaf people hearing. Amen. When that man, because Jesus is manifesting himself. Amen. It's in you. Now, there's nothing wrong if you want to have hands laid on you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, you've already got the healing power in you. Now, sometimes laying on of hands is a point of contact to activate that. It's where you release your faith. And that's fine. That's the anointing of oil. Works the same way for those who call in James 5. But you can go to God on your own. Say, God, I just thank you. I thank you that the healing power of God's working in me right now, affecting the healing and the cure. Your life is in me, quickening, making alive, Romans 8:11, this mortal body. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. That life that's in us. Now, while I'm praying right now, I'm going to ask you just a moment. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have that life in you. But that's all right. You can leave here tonight with that everlasting life on the inside of you. And it will begin to work in your life. Make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, it happens instantaneously. But your body can be made well. Your mind can be sound. Your broken heart healed. In the name of Jesus. And the past we made brand new in him. Father, we thank you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you. But I want you to just raise your hand so I know to do that. We don't want to miss that. If you tonight you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Looking around, I don't see any. Just raise your hand at me if you need to do that so I can see it. Raise it up high. I don't see that. If you need healing in your body right now, I want you to just raise your hand. All right? Raise your hand right now. Okay. Now, I'm just going to speak this. Father, I speak life. That life that's in each one of these that has their hand raised right now, life, quicken, make alive, quicken this body, heal these bodies in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All of us say this. In Jesus' name. The life of God is working in me, making me alive, healing my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The life of God is flowing in me. I am bone of his bone. I am flesh of his flesh. He's in me, and I'm in him, and that power is working in me now. Therefore, I shall declare, I am healed. I'm not gonna be. I am healed. I am whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now just thank God for it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up on our feet and thank God. Just go ahead and stand up on your feet all over the auditorium in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I believe we had a first-time guest tonight. Was that right, Miss Jane? If you'll go ahead and help them. We're so glad that you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. Be back here next Sunday night. I think I'd almost guarantee you Hagen will be here. I don't know which one exactly who will be here, but one of them will be here and ministering the word of God. And we thank God for that, our pastors. Glory, glory to God. Amen. If you do need prayer for anything, you'd like to have someone pray for you. Brother Glenn's going to be up here right over here at the end of the service. Just come on up here and meet with him. He'll pray with you according to the word of God. Why is that so important? Because that's where your help comes from. That's where help is in the word, and the answer is in the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. All things good. I believe we're good. Again, if you need prayer, hey, before you leave, shake hands with two or three people and just look at them and say, that life's in you, and you can be dismissed. God bless you.